Regret in your trades today on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Although I probably should have left that for later. I don't know if I should have led with that, because you know how it is. We talk forever, and then I say, hey, sorry, we can't grade your trades. But Scott, now I'm putting you guys to task. I got a lot of notes for you. We're going to get through it quickly.
Geez. We're going to have to talk like the Micro Machines guy.
No, not quite the Micro Machine Man. But that would be fun.
It would.
It would be physically impossible for me. That's quite a talent that guy has from that ad campaign.
It's not my skill set.
25 years ago, that very few people listening probably remember.
Oh, no.
And even some of the people talking on this podcast.
Well, we are going to talk about trades. We're going to talk about Jose Berrios and a couple of other pitchers who are going to be making their season debuts pretty soon. Who are you moving up and down in your rankings? Who stood out in Tuesday's games and plenty, plenty more? Are there reasons to worry about Max Scherzer, Dallas Keuchel, Vince Velasquez, Luis Severino? And what about Kevin Jepsen and Cody Allen? And I'm going to stop talking. Good morning, Alan Scott. How are you? Are you excited about Jose Berrios, 73% owned?
I am very excited about Jose Berrios.
I'd be more excited if you did not sell it.
Too excited about Jose Berrios. No, I don't mean that as anything against Jose Berrios. You just got to see how high Al has him in his rankings.
Oh, okay. How high?
Ahead of Noah Syndergaard. Just kidding. 44th.
All right. 44th at starting pitcher. And Scott, where do you have Jose Berrios?
I have him 64th, which sounds, you know, like a lot worse than Al, but it's one spot ahead of Blake Snell. I mean, I'm not Berriosing him.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh. That was the other thing I was going to tell you. I listened to some interviews, and I heard a couple of guys pronounce it Berrios.
Yeah, no, I saw that too. I saw that on, I was watching some highlights from the minor leagues of him, and the play-by-play guy called him Berrios too, so.
And I've watched him 2 years in a row in spring training, and I'm pretty sure the Twins guy said Berrios, because if they'd said Berrios, I would have remembered that.
Berrios. You know, maybe it might be one, like, remember Arizmendi Alcantara?
Alcantara.
Yeah. Like,
right.
That changed all of a sudden. Like, maybe he just clued them in that, oh no, it's actually Berrios. So, whatever. Pronunciation aside, the important thing is, this is a top pitching prospect. The numbers from the minor leagues aren't like slap you in the face good like Blake Snell's were, but they are very good, and they're more polished, I think, than Snell's. Snell's has clear control issues. Berrios doesn't. And still misses quite a bit of bats himself.
And that's why I do rank Berrios ahead of Snell. And I just noticed, I'm glad you made the comparison, Scott, because I moved Berrios up. I hadn't moved Snell up, so I'll do that in today's update. But I do put him ahead of Snell and Glasnow, because Berrios already has the good control. That's pretty huge for a young pitcher coming up who can also get strikeouts.
And he has two good secondary pitches, which is rare. You know, really not too many stumbles in the minors. It's very, very reliable down there. There is a question of how long he's going to stick in the rotation, but with both Irvin Santana and Kyle Gibson going on the disabled list yesterday, I think he's guaranteed like two or three turns at least. And if they're good, between Tommy Malone and I'm still not totally on board with Ricky Nolasco, there's ways they can keep him around. Tyler Duffy's not exactly a sure thing either. So there's ways they can keep Berrios around. Can't guarantee he's going to be up forevermore, but if he's up this early, he's going to be up for much of 2016, I think it's safe to say, and will be worth stashing, even if he does get sent down at some point.
You know, it is great, the trade, and we actually just 0 minutes ago, just seconds ago, got a trade from Scott, who emailed us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and Scott traded Nomar Mazara for Jose Berrios in a roto league with quality starts and OPS as extra categories. Nomar Mazara, Jose Berrios, who do you value more highly right now, guys?
That's an absolute no to me. I know I have Berrios lower. Mazara has already shown that he's major league caliber, must-start fantasy guy, and Berrios hasn't thrown a pitch yet. So I don't see any reason to make that leap for him when Mazara has all this potential himself.
Yeah, I would rather have Mazara, although it's so close. I think it's a very even trade, that if his need was much greater for pitching and he had some great outfield depth. I'm fine with that.
Did you drop Shelby Miller right now for Berrios? Oh,
yeah.
I have Berrios 5 spots ahead. Al probably has him like 25 spots.
Something like
you know,
that. Because I'm sure I have Shelby lower than you, and I've got Berrios 20 spots higher.
Al's got Berrios 2 spots ahead of Patrick Corbin. That was the toughest decision for me. Berrios was only available in one of my leagues. I did put in a claim for him. It did not get him, but it was between Corbin and Berrios, and I elected to keep Corbin. So I actually ended up trying to drop Drew Pomeranz, who I'm using as a relief pitcher, obviously in a roto league, you know, where the RP eligibility is not a factor. That's a no-brainer. But in a points league, it was a little bit more difficult. I put in the claim, drop Pomeranz for Berrios. It did not get him. But Berrios is going to start today against Cleveland. Get him on your roster if you can. Now, this weekend, Houston is going to skip Scott Feldman. And they are going to turn to a rookie pitcher who has been pitching out of the bullpen. 13 2/3, 11 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, and 12 strikeouts. Now, I just picked up Chris Devensky. I don't expect too much from him this weekend because he needs to get stretched out. But Devensky for the Houston Astros, should we be excited about him? It seemed like A.J. Hinch was pretty excited about putting him in the rotation.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't seen that. And Scott and I were just talking about him right before we started this podcast because we saw that you picked him up. And all I really knew was that he was making a spot start. So I thought, well, you picked him up, Adam, and he's probably not going to start next week. But if Hinch is, you know, pretty enthused about him, then maybe he's going to look for ways to keep him around because it's certainly not like the Astros rotation has been good this year.
Right. And that's kind of my thinking on it. You know, and he is RP eligible, obviously, and I picked him up in a roto league, but I just thought, I don't know anything about this guy, but his numbers are amazing, and the Astros need help. They are horrible right now. So,
well, his numbers are amazing in what, 13 2/3
yes.
relief innings?
Yes.
It's not like he had amazing numbers in the minors. He had some stops that were okay. He had some stops that were bad. So I don't know that I can get excited about this.
Well, I'll put it this way. In terms of guys who are just going into rotations now, I made an NL-only bid for Chris Russin in Colorado and also an NL-only bid for Adam Morgan. And I'm really more interested to see what those guys are going to do because Morgan in particular I think is going to stick around for quite a while. Charlie Morton's going to be out a long time. Morgan had a really nice spring for the Phillies, and he's been good at AAA with the Iron Pigs so far. So I'm more interested in Adam Morgan than I am Devensky. And Rustin, I know, you know, somebody who couldn't initially crack the Rockies rotation. Why would I be interested in him? But he had a stage last year. He was really pretty good and was actually better at Coors Field than away. So I think Rustin actually could be a good deep league guy.
Yeah, but you really just wanted to say Iron Pigs, Al. So,
yes.
You know, congratulations. Also, Justin Nicolino is going to start for the Marlins today at San Diego. Do you care about that?
Give me Devensky.
Give me Adam Morgan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fellas, give me a couple of names, big ones, whatever, small ones. I don't care how
Once
many
you
letters.
Climb on rocks.
rankings movers. Who's moving up? Who's moving down? Anything major that you've done lately in your rankings?
I'd say that the big movement for me so far this week has been Odubel Herrera, who's just emerged as a completely different hitter this year and one who's really valuable in points leagues. So I actually looked to squeeze him in that three outfielder format because of the great walk to strikeout ratio. Now there's a bunch of guys I'm going to move up today, and I mentioned Blake Snell. Even though he's not on the major league roster right now, I'm sure he'll be back pretty soon. Kevin Plawecki now, Mets starting catcher indefinitely.
Where are you going to move these guys to?
Where am I moving Plawecki to?
Yeah, you can start with him.
Okay. Good thing I'm really prepared to discuss that. So
I can pull your rankings up.
Yeah. No, I've got the catcher rankings up, and he's not going to make the top 12. He's not going to be a number one catcher, but. Yeah, I'll put him probably 16th. So, solid number two catcher.
So, okay. You'll have him ahead of, like, Wilson Ramos, JT Realmuto?
Yeah. I think what this tells me is I need to move Swihart further down. No, I think Swihart will be valuable when he comes back. But,
yeah. You take him over Salta Lamacchia? I was thinking maybe, like, Kurt Suzuki range myself. Maybe ahead of Kurt Suzuki himself, but...
Yeah, okay. Good points. No, he's going to be my top 20, but, yeah, a few spots further down.
Okay. Who else?
That's a problem doing this on the fly.
Actually, the inspiration for me for this segment was Al said he's moving Freddie Freeman down in his rankings.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Are you, and how far?
Yes. I mean, like two or three spots behind Hosmer.
Yeah, I just did that yesterday too. Moved him behind Hosmer specifically. Okay. So yeah, not just a subtle change. I think he's going to get a lot better than he has been.
He has to.
But yeah, bad supporting cast, so the run RBI production will be low.
It's just the wrist, you know. I mean, I think I was maybe a little overly optimistic about that in the exhibition season.
Hey, he had a good spring. He was hitting a lot of home runs, so yeah. But maybe it is still bothering him. I've made a lot of changes at catcher. A lot. Yeah, that was the position that saw the most turnover when I went through this yesterday. Salvador Perez went from like my eighth catcher to my fourth catcher kind of by default because Mesoraco and Martin have been terrible. Darno is hurt. Not that he was doing well before then. And then Wellington Castillo, big riser, in the top 10 now. And I think the power is legit. He might be the best pure power hitter at the position right now. Might be what you want Evan Gattis to be.
Let's go to Salvador Perez. Just going to look up his splits from last year, but I just want to put it on people's radar. Ned Yost uses him way too much, and I think 2 years in a row he's worn down in the second half. So I don't know if this is a guy in 2 months or so you should be looking to sell high on. Last year after the All-Star break. Yeah. So before the All-Star break last year, 262 with a 453 slugging. After the All-Star break, 258, pretty much the same batting average, but a 391 slugging. He hit 15 home runs of his 21 before the All-Star break in 2015. And I think the splits might have been even more dramatic in 2014. But, do you guys subscribe to that theory with Salvador Perez?
Yeah, I do think that he's at risk of having a bad second half given the way that he's used. And I'm not really a huge fan of the progression of his hitting approach over his career, where like 2 years ago, I thought, oh, this is a guy who could hit 20 home runs and hit 300, but he's getting the power by selling out the batting average.
Okay. Any other major rankings movers for Scott White?
Well, I wanted to bring up Aledmys Diaz. I'm not sure we got to talk about him Monday. We probably have talked about him a lot overall, though.
We talked about him Monday.
Did we?
Yeah.
Well,
but go on.
Did I bring up on Monday that you can look at the minor league numbers and be underwhelmed? Sure. But July 10th on last year, that was the first day after he was designated for assignment.
Yeah, you brought this up.
Okay. His ISO was 247. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Paul Goldschmidt's ISO for the year last year was 249. So I think there's legit power here. He struck out, as of yesterday, he had struck out three times all season. So contact skills, power, it's just a playing time question for me now. And he is now my 13th shortstop in head-to-head points leagues. I think I may have him a little lower in Roto because there's some base stealers that you have to give more, more weight to. But I want him.
Okay, but here's the thing. That's very nice. Here's the thing about Aledmys Diaz. What happens when Johnny Peralta comes back? Like, I'm not even going to nitpick about the playing time now because if he hits, he'll stay in the lineup. But
it's a long way away.
Peralta? It is,
if he keeps doing this,
he'll play second.
If he keeps doing this, I think Peralta could become a utility player.
I think Colton Wong
could become a utility player.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm already considering Jed Jerko the starter.
So, oh, really?
Over Colton Wong, I am. Yeah,
wow.
I mean, I'm not the manager, but Jed Jerko has been better so far, and it's not like Mike Matheny has really been committed to playing Wong, so it seems like that could be in the works.
Yeah, now Colton Wong sat yesterday but because of flu-like symptoms. But that's not the only time he sat. Anyone else before we move on, guys?
Yeah, Aaron Nola is going to be a big mover for me today, and I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to have him settle. But let's see. I've got him 60th now, and he's definitely going to be somewhere in the top 40. Maybe even the top 30. And this is on the heels of me doing a piece on him yesterday and doing some research. And he's getting called strikes at a rate that's unprecedented, at least over the last 3 or 4 years. And it's, you know, shouldn't be a surprise because the guy's got amazing command. But when you look at the complete package of what he does, he looks like the new version of Cliff Lee, and put him in the top 40 might be too conservative.
So who are you going to put ahead, Berrios or Aaron Nola?
Oh, definitely Aaron Nola.
Okay. All right, guys. So for more, go to the rankings page on fantasynews.cbsports.com. And there's little arrows to indicate who's moving up and who's moving down. I want to talk about some news from yesterday. Travis d'Arnaud's on the DL with a rotator cuff strain. That's why Kevin Plawecki is moving up. But d'Arnaud, it's not certain how long he'll be out. He might not need surgery. It might not be that long of a stint. But, you know, you got to be a little skeptical there. Cole Hamels hoping to start Saturday. Joe Ross expected to start this weekend. Russell Martin missed his third straight game with neck stiffness. Josh Donaldson DH for the second straight game. He has a leg injury. Does anybody know anything about that? I know he had the calf injury in week one or two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what this is all about, but Donaldson is DH two straight games with a leg injury. No? Okay.
Yep.
you know.
Sorry, wasn't sure there was a question there.
Oh, no. I wanted to know if you guys knew anything about the injury.
We're out in the dark as you are on this.
Justin Upton robbed someone of a home run yesterday. My phone calls him Chris Foghorn. I call him Chris Coughlin. But Scott,
well, you see,
Scott, don't think that your segment at the end of Monday's podcast went unnoticed. I picked up Chris Coughlin. I think Coughlin or Foghorn was facing all righties this week, and
yep,
off to a bad start. But he should have had a home run yesterday. Justin Upton made a really nice catch.
Well, he's been hitting well recently with a lot of power recently. Yeah, the overall batting average is low, but he's coming into at bats at the right time.
Yeah, but the thing is, right now I'm on one of these runs where I pick up a guy who's hot, he has a terrible week, I drop him, he gets hot again, and the guy I put in for him does really poorly, and I'm mostly referring to Brandon Moss, who I had his one bad week, and now he's back to being good again, and that's really
funny. I did that with him too.
Yeah, that's how it
in
goes.
In one roto league.
This is interesting. I did not know this. Craig Counsell apparently wants to limit Ryan Braun to 140 games this year.
Boy, just when you thought it was safe to start him all the time in any format.
Yeah.
It still is.
Yeah.
140, I mean, that's not...
All right.
He might have accidentally played that many, even if it wasn't a conscious decision.
Well, I don't like that. And... You know,
more playing time's better than less, but 140 is still basically a full season. It's not like 120, you know.
I guess. Clayton Kershaw allowed 5 runs in a game for the first time in 31 starts, and Giancarlo Stanton has homered in 3 straight games, including a blast off Kershaw yesterday. One thing to keep in mind with Kershaw, just saying, he took a ball off his knee yesterday. I think it was a D. Gordon comebacker off his knee. And immediately struggled after that, and that's when he gave up the home run. So let's hope that
Let's see you pitch after taking a D. Gordon comebacker off your knee, Adam.
I'm just saying, I hope it doesn't linger, you know?
I'm just agreeing.
Okay.
You're just saying, I'm just agreeing.
All right, Tuesday's standouts.
Stanton loves Dodger Stadium.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's LA's hometown. He's hit 6 home runs there in 56 at-bats.
Let's go to Tuesday's standouts before we move on to the struggling starters like Scherzer and Keuchel. All right, I'll kick it off with Rich Hill. 7 innings, scoreless, 4 hits, no walks, and 8 strikeouts at Detroit. When you get dominated by Rich Hill and your Victor Martinez, you call out your teammates because you're so mad about how bad your hitting is. But it's a season-long thing for the Tigers. Anyway, wow, Rich Hill. He's got 37 strikeouts in 26 innings.
Well, yeah, and he's somebody who's going to have to move up for me as well. But I just imagine him maybe, and I think this is the best we can expect from Rich Hill, maybe being Francisco Liriano, and there's going to be weeks where you're just going to think you should start him all the time, and then there's going to be weeks where you're going to think about dropping him because the control is just not good.
Well, I worry about the hitability more than the control, and I know I've brought this up probably every time we talked about him, but he lives and dies with the curveball, and that's a feel pitch. It's not going to be on every night. he's been on a lot here in the early going, and enough that I think he's pretty close to must own now, but he's not must start. I don't even know that it's worth playing matchups with him, because it's, you know, that's his feel for the curveball is going to be unrelated to that.
Well, it's but funny you it's, say I, that, because I was worried about him this week because of all the righties in the Tigers lineup. I just figured this was a bad start for the left-handed pitcher.
And yeah, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. That's not really... It might be a situation where I play him in the two start weeks, and I sit him in the one start weeks. And I guess I might sit him just if you... I guess I'd think about starting him in a one start week if, like, he goes on a really good run. But... it's always going to be a little dangerous.
Okay.
Yeah, I sat him this week in our office head-to-head league, even with the two starts.
You know, I don't know. I'm just going to make the case that we might be selling him short, because Rich Hill, I mean, Al, you mentioned his control. He's got 9 walks in 26 innings. That's not terrible. And last year he had 5 walks in 29 innings. Is his control really that bad?
Well, he's not throwing that many strikes. And yeah, the walk rate you can live with. I just, you know... But this is after, you know, 7 innings with no walks, so that's improved the rate. And I just think there's enough inconsistency. And exactly what Scott was saying, he's not going to necessarily have the feel for the curve every start. And, you know, this could be followed up by a start where he walks 5 guys.
Okay. Who else stood out to you guys yesterday?
Well, Ian Desmond has been standing out to me. I mean, he had another good game, I think, if I recall correctly, 2 hits with a homer.
Oh, yes. He had a very good game.
Yeah, but you know, he's just been, I think, quietly, you know, really snapping out of the funk. Last 8 games, 10 for 25, 3 home runs and 3 steals, only 4 strikeouts, and that may be the most important number of all of them. And, you know, small sample size theater and all, it's an encouraging turnaround for Desmond, who had a very good second half last year.
Yeah, I'm willing to say I prematurely wrote him off this year.
He's like a top 10 shortstop right now, and I think he's probably someone you want to put. He's an outfielder only in FanDuel, but he's a righty facing CeCe Sabathia today, and he's 3,100. So if you play daily fantasy, I think Desmond's a pretty good option given his hot streak. Yeah, so that's very impressive. Scott, stand out for you?
Kevin Kiermaier's starting to get kind of interesting. Just hit his 3rd home run yesterday, has 2 stolen bases. And he was kind of Kevin Pillar-like in those two areas last year. The big difference, well, I don't even know that it was a big difference, but I've been under the impression Kevin Pillar has a lot of more upside in batting average. And I think maybe Kevin Kiermaier does too, because the strikeout rate is so low, only 10 so far this season, a rate of 16.1, which, to put that in perspective, 16.1 is roughly what... hang on, let me get my leaderboard straight here.
No, you know what? Come on. Really, Kevin Kiermaier? Like, come on now. Come on. We've done this before with Kevin Kiermaier. He's not that good of a hitter.
Have we done this before with Kevin Kiermaier?
Yes, 2 years ago. He went like a crazy hot streak.
Oh, yeah, at the end of the season.
Yes.
All that power.
Well, I mean, the hitters who aren't owned right now are perceived to be not good hitters, right? Like, I don't know who you're wanting me to say.
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't have to be someone to pick up. But, okay, would you rather have Chris Coughlin or Kevin Kiermaier?
I think I'd rather have Kiermaier.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think he has the potential to be a more reliable start and to help in more areas. He hit 10 home runs and stole 18 bases last year. He had 12 triples.
So what?
I mean, those are... So what?
Yeah, so what? Honestly,
sometimes
stats just don't matter, because you're just not going to start Kevin Kiermaier. You know,
I think you could in a 5 outfielder. In fact, I think I did in a 5 outfielder league where I'm in first place currently.
Well,
and it's not an AL-only league.
He's batting 8th. I think I would like to see him bat. That was a big difference between him and Pillar, you know, last year. Pillar's
not anymore.
No, Pillar batted low last year too.
No, Pillar let. Oh, you're right. Yeah, sorry. All right, fine. Kevin Kiermaier, whatever.
What's Kiermaier's ownership?
29%.
And I'm not saying it deserves to be much higher than 60 or so. I'm not calling him a 3 outfielder guy at all. I'm just saying there's maybe more to be had here.
And like
and
Coughlin,
he's showing signs of it.
Like hey, Coughlin, he's mashing left. He's mashing righties, but batting 091, 1 for 11 against lefties, Kiermaier.
Have we talked about Corey Seager at all this year?
Seems
like we haven't.
Not really. Other than Coors Field, he hasn't done all that much with the bat this year.
And I think after 3.5 weeks, that's kind of worth mentioning.
Yeah, what are you thinking about Corey Seager?
I think he's going to bounce back, but I also have a hard time just saying, oh, well, it's bad luck and he's going to turn around, because, you know, we haven't seen a lot of what he can do at the major league level. He was up in September last year, you know, was great. Figured that wasn't really going to be his real level, that he'd come down some, but not nearly this much. But he just hasn't shown a lot in terms of hard contact or power this year. And I think that, you know, there could be a longer adjustment process for Seager than you know, I'm going to say all of us realize, because I think we all had him ranked very highly.
Well, here's what went through my head. I thought you heard said Corey Seager, and I assumed it was going to be a positive take. And then you go into this negative take, and I'm like, oh, I must have heard Kyle Seager. And then you start talking about how it's his, he's just starting his career. So
that's not Kyle.
I found that
surprising. It's Corey. Yeah.
As a Corey Seager owner, I have not been the least bit disappointed by what he's given me. In the couple leagues where I own him, he has been the sixth best shortstop in head-to-head points leagues to date.
Yeah, he has a good walk to strikeout ratio, 7 walks, 12 strikeouts. But I mean,
but
seriously,
he's 8 total extra base hits. I mean,
yeah. Okay, well, that's
not
the thing.
Bad. That's more than Eugenio Suarez.
So, I mean, this is a big difference between points and categories, because he's got one steal and 2 home runs, and one of those home runs came at Coors Field, and he's batting .247. So I can't imagine he's been that good for your roto teams, Corey.
Well, he's the sixth best shortstop in RBI, and he's the sixth best in runs scored. So I'd argue he has been.
All right, well,
and that's all very surprising to me, given how many good shortstops have emerged so far this year. You know, guys like Suarez. I'm gonna just see exactly where he is in the roto rankings, because I've got
12th.
The same suspicion, and
he's 12th.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, he's way down.
He's 12th. So, which isn't that bad. I mean, he's
cold. A guy who
I
drafted to be my starting shortstop, finding out he's 12th now, that's not...
Yeah, I agree.
That's not disappointing to me.
I mean, it's a little disappointing.
Well, it is to me, given where I had to draft him. Because there's a lot of guys I could have drafted to be the 12th best shortstop and, you know, taking them very, very late. And I'm not saying... Again, I did say I expect him to rebound from this.
Okay.
But it may not be as far or as soon as I would have thought
weeks
ago.
Yeah, I was just surprised by the take, because as a Corey Seager owner, I feel like I've been satisfied. It's his 22nd birthday today, by the way.
Hey,
so happy birthday,
hey.
Corey Seager.
Happy birthday. All right, I'm going to throw out 2 more standouts from Tuesday's
happy birthday.
Games. All right, 2 more standouts from Tuesday's games. Johnny Cueto, complete game, 11 strikeouts and a shutout against San Diego. San Diego's horrible, but wow, Cueto off to a great start. Andrew McCutchen. Yeah, people kept tweeting us like, thanks for the McCutchen buy low advice, because we talked about that yesterday. I would like to give a little bit of a hat tip to Coors Field, but still, McCutchen hit 3 home runs. So Cueto and McCutchen, either of them worth talking about here?
Well, since I was the downer on Cueto all preseason and convinced he had some elbow injury he was hiding, I got to say I'm pretty encouraged by this start. And I would not be looking to sell high on him.
All I could say is, if I'm a Royals fan, because we know, you know, one or two, well, one.
Yes.
I'm asking, what the heck happened last summer,
yeah.
Johnny Cueto?
Yeah.
Because he's back.
I don't know what you did last summer.
Would you move, as we'll transition into the struggling starters, would you move Cueto ahead of Dallas Keuchel?
Ooh.
No.
I guess I wouldn't either, but yeah, Keuchel is starting to concern me a little bit.
Okay, let's discuss. 4.41 ERA, gave up 5 runs, mostly 1 bad inning against Seattle. 13 walks, 27 strikeouts, only 1 home run allowed in 32 2/3. But his last start, he gave up 13 hits and 6 runs at Texas.
Yeah, well, and the one thing I could find that was pretty, you know, markedly different from the last couple years is that hitters aren't chasing pitches out of the zone against him as often. And that's pretty key for him. So, you know, the walks are up and the strikeouts are down a little bit because of that. And, you know, maybe that's something that Keuchel can adjust, but, you know, it's definitely something I'm watching for his next few starts.
Would you be hesitant to buy low on either Max Scherzer or Dallas Keuchel?
Not Max Scherzer, and honestly, not Dallas Keuchel either. I think the only starting pitchers, well, the only starting pitcher I would be hesitant to buy low on of that, you know, level is Matt Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I feel you. Okay. And not Jacob DeGrom? No, long-term concerns there?
Nope. Okay. Well, I wouldn't say no concerns. I'd like him to throw as hard as he did last year, yeah. But I think there are good reasons why he hasn't yet.
Okay, then. Vince Velasquez, you know, it wasn't that bad of a start. 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, I believe one. I know at least one was intentional, and 4 strikeouts at Washington. So, you know, it's been 2 kind of disappointing starts in a row for Velasquez.
Well, if you think he's going to go out and strike out 15 every time, sure. There's nothing wrong with that start at all. Or 16 Ks that he had in that one game.
I disagree with you, Al.
What's that?
I disagree. Okay, look. He had 8 walks plus hits in 6 innings. He had a 4.50 ERA. He struck out 4 in 6 innings. Like, how can you say there's nothing wrong with this start? And this is coming off after
because you're blowing a one game sample up into, you know, comparing it to a stat that you would use to evaluate, you know, a whole season or a big chunk of a season.
But that's how I feel like we did with the Padres game. The Padres are so pathetic. So all I'm saying is he's faced the Mets and the Nationals in his next 2 starts, and Velasquez has struggled. I'm not saying drop Velasquez.
Struggled is too strong of a word.
Yeah, you say, you know,
struggled is that.
You made a claim about his whip, and then, you know, 5 seconds before that, you said one of the walks was intentional.
Yeah, but okay, but I'm talking about 2 starts now, because the Mets game was pretty bad for him. 4 1/3, 5 hits, 5 runs, 2 earned. No walks, 4 strikeouts.
You know, eliminating Clayton Kershaw and Noah Syndergaard, every single ace has had a start worse than Vince Velasquez has this year.
I'm not saying, I think you're misinterpreting what I'm saying here, but how can it just be all sunshine and roses and lollipops here and rainbows? I don't know where I got roses.
It wasn't, okay, first of all, yeah, the 16 strikeout performance was an outlier because 16 strikeouts is so many. But he had 9 the very start before. I mean, there was plenty of reason to get excited about him before that even happened.
He's good. He's obviously good. All right, fine. You know what? We'll just keep excusing him.
An excuse. He's pitching okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's pitching okay.
Okay.
All right, so you're going to keep him in your rotation. And you're going to get starts that are much better than this.
I'm starting him. Of course, I'm starting him.
Oh, okay. All
right. But I am not starting Luis Severino.
Not me neither. He's falling in my rankings.
Oh, how close are you guys to dropping Severino, who's 86% owned?
No, not dropping him yet. Benching him for sure. But no, there's just too much potential there based on what we saw last year and in the minor leagues. And 3+ weeks is nowhere near long enough to drop him. Got to give him, I'd say, at least another 3 weeks.
I'm probably going to get tweets from Jake Arrieta and Chris Sale owners, since they obviously haven't had bad starts either. There's probably somebody else I overlooked in that Velasquez comparison. I
mean, so. But your bigger point stands.
I just wanted to get that in there.
Yeah, Sale, by the way, my goodness. Is Sale going to have his best year ever? Because remember, we've mentioned it a number of times. He's not had a top 10 finish. It's very strange, whether it's been innings or win-loss. Is this the year Chris Sale, who's like 4-0 with a 1-something ERA, has his best year yet?
I'm sure he could, because he had a great year in 2013, but I think it was only 210, 215 innings. So he could exceed that inning total and maybe be as good or even a little better than that. But I want to pump the brakes on Sale a little bit, because he had a stretch last year that I think lasted about 2 months where he was better than, I think, everybody. He was better than Kershaw. When Kershaw was going well, he was as good or better than Scherzer when Scherzer was, you know, throwing no hitters. And then the rest of the year, he was sort of meh.
Yeah, that was last year, Al, because I saw in 2014 he also had a 5-start stretch. I did that because he's had 5 starts this year where he had a 1.16 ERA, 8 walks, 44 strikeouts, and 38 2/3. So Yeah, Sale has shown this in the past. He goes on these ace spurts where he's like the greatest pitcher ever. You know, which
so
is,
he could have his best season ever, or he could have a carbon copy of last year where for, you know, 2 months he looked like Cy Young.
I think any Sale owner will take last year, right? I mean,
No issues there. I'm not counting on him being better than that.
Should Kevin Jepsen and Cody Allen owners be making alternate plans at the closer spot in their lineup?
Well, Kevin Jepsen owners shouldn't have been, he wasn't going to be long for the role anyway, you know? So he was never meant to be a permanent solution. Do I think Trevor May could get the next opportunity?
Trevor May.
Maybe, yeah, he may. He may. Allen, I don't see him losing the grip on that role anytime soon. I don't know what his deal is because he's so dominant peripherally, but just so unreliable in terms of closing the door.
Horrible April last year, finished with, I think, a 2.99 ERA. And for what it's worth, both managers, because they played each other last night, Minnesota and Cleveland, both managers said that their closers were pitching well, just not getting the results. So there's that. Genmar Gomez got his fifth save. He's 61% owned. Does Genmar Gomez seem under-owned to you?
No, I think that's just right. And he hasn't done anything so far this year to make fantasy owners nervous, but the longer track record suggests that he could. And it's a long season, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, implode in May or June.
Pop quiz, hotshot. You are Genmar Gomez, or you're Pete Mackanin. Phillies are up 4-3, bottom of the ninth inning last night. Runner on first base is Anthony Rendon. Bryce Harper at the plate. He is the go-ahead run. Rendon is the tying run. I believe Ryan Zimmerman had been removed in a double switch, batting behind Harper. What do you do? Do you pitch to Harper, or do you walk him and put the tying run in scoring position? Remember, Harper had a pinch hit at bat on Sunday, I think. He hit a game-tying home run in the ninth inning off Jepsen in the game the Nationals won in extra innings. What do you do?
Oh, gosh. I
pitched to Harper.
I think in that situation, you go for it, but... Ugh.
If it was the postseason, I'd walk Harper.
I would have walked him, but they pitched to him and they won. So I guess you guys win. But yeah, I mean, Harper is so locked in right now. It's crazy. God, he's good.
I thought he was going to hit a home run. I was watching that at bat and he kept fouling off pitches.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a good at bat and then he lost it. But, by the way, one more bullpen note. Caleb Cotham, he's been pitching so much better than Tony Cingrani. They're owned in about the same amount of leagues. Is Cotham the guy to own for Cincinnati?
That's the way I've approached it. We don't know, and we won't know at least until there's a save situation, but that's my presumption.
Okay. So yesterday we looked at top 12 first baseman and second baseman, two each that kind of stood out. Let's do that with third baseman and shortstops today. And then we'll see if we can, we'll be able to grade some trades today at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. But we have a lot more to get to. So top 12 third baseman, number 5 in both formats is Yasmani Tomas, and number 7 in points, number 8 in Roto is Mike Moustakas. Tomas has 5 home runs and 7 doubles. Moustakas hit his 7th home run last night. So Tomas and Moustakas, what's standing out to you guys?
Here's me 2 or 3 weeks ago. Tomas hasn't done anything to show you that he's going to hit for power this year. Well, now he has. I like it. I like it because he's still using the whole field, and the power's there this year. Wasn't there at all last year.
Yep. I don't know why I'm trusting in it because, like you said, last year there was none. And that's really all the track record we have to go on. I just know he was supposed to have power. So I'm kind of going with it. I moved him up a lot yesterday. He's still not even in my top 15 third baseman. So probably one of those situations where I'm definitely owning him in Roto, probably not in head to head. But he's interesting. And as for Moustakas, I'm not ruling out this big-time power breakout for him because he had, I think, a 36 home run season in the minors. I mean, it's not like this is completely out of profile for him. And I love the fact he's on pace for 65 strikeouts, still making a ton of contact. So it's not like he sacrificed anything to have this power surge. I only moved him up like a spot. I think I moved him ahead of Kyle Seager.
Yeah. Oh God. Kyle Seager. I'll take Seager.
You'll take Seager?
Yeah. Over. Seager's got so much positive regression coming. I'm very excited for it.
I don't doubt that. I just think he's boring.
He is a little boring.
Moustakas was basically on his level last year. So if there's any upside yet to be tapped into for Moustakas, he's going to be better than Seager. Seager, we know exactly what he is. 265-70 hitter with 25 homer power.
Well, I feel like he's maybe 27-28. Am I wrong? Did he get that last year?
Not exactly.
But here's the thing, like in fantasy baseball, right? You've got a guy like Kyle Seager, who we've sort of said is one of the most predictable players in baseball, and he's off to such a bad start. I mean, couldn't you make the case that from this point forward, he might be close to a top five third baseman? He won't finish that way, or maybe it's a little early because it's only been three and a half weeks. But when you look at a guy like that who's gotten off to such a bad start, I mean, I feel like a hot streak is coming. And I feel like he did this last year, too, by the way, to 26 home runs last year.
Yeah, I mean, I just think going forward, he'll be what he's been before. He won't necessarily compensate for the bad start. And maybe this is a year where
his year-end stats
look a little bit off.
He will compensate. Why would they be a little off? He will clearly compensate for the bad start. That's baseball, right, man. He hit 266 with two home runs in April last year, Kyle Seager. And then, of course, he compensated for the bad start.
Yeah. That's like clockwork. Yeah, Kyle Seager.
By the way, just a quick note about Moose, and I'll make it Yankees relevant for you, Adam.
Oh, please don't. I hate them.
No, it's going to put a smile on your face, because Moustakas has made a huge improvement in his plate discipline, and he's always been a good contact guy, but not necessarily a good walks guy. He's not chasing pitches nearly as often as he has in the past, so that's pretty intriguing. So I went and looked at the leaderboard to see where he is, and it's not an improvement that puts him near the top of the leaderboard, but Brett Gardner is at the top of that leaderboard. Lowest swing percentage outside the strike zone. And that's got to make you feel good about his walk to strikeout ratio.
It's been very good.
Yeah.
When you see that, though, from a veteran player, at this point, I just kind of feel like I don't care. I know what Brett Gardner is. He is at a point in his career. We know what Brett Gardner is. And I don't really care about any peripheral stat after 3 weeks. You know, that's my
personal. I kind of agree with you. I think I saw Gardner actually unowned in one of our head-to-head points leagues, which is the shallowest format. And I picked him up because, you know, ride the hot hand. But I don't feel like he's going to be near this level all year.
No, and I don't either. But just to make a comparison, Curtis Granderson last year, who emerged with better plate discipline, and he regressed, but it was from such an extreme point that he was still a very disciplined hitter for the rest of the season, and wound up having a very good year.
Okay. Top 12 shortstops. Number one is Gene Segura. Number one in both formats. Where do you see Gene Segura finishing at shortstop?
Well, I have him, I want to say, around 15th or 16th. So that's my bet on where he finishes. I think he does cool off. I'm not entirely buying into the power, although he's already done something that wouldn't have expected him to do for any 3 week stretch. I'm impressed by it. But,
well, it's worth noting that before his double and home run Monday, he had gone 14 games with just two extra base hits and had a 670 OPS during that stretch. So I worried it was already starting, but you know, it's not just a 2 week stretch that matters.
You want to know my favorite stat about Gene Segura?
Yes.
Yeah. Most at bats at the shortstop position. That's going to help him greatly, especially in head-to-head points leagues.
Yeah, if he continues to bat leadoff all year. I have him 10th, by the way. So a little more optimistic than Al, but in a range of shortstops where he can move down five spots pretty easily.
Segura or Desmond?
Still Desmond for me.
I'm Segura. I still have playing time concerns about Desmond. That's the main reason.
And guess who's number 8 all of a sudden? Carlos Correa. He has cooled off quite a bit from the first series. Remember what I said? First series of the week of the year, or rather. He was at the Yankees. I said he's going to the Hall of Fame. And he probably still is. Yeah, he's not doing that much right now. And there was, you know, some concerns about the league adjusting to him in his second year. Has anything changed for you with Carlos Correa?
No. Yeah, I mean, duly noted that he's really not done much lately. The Astros just seem to be in a collective funk. And I think he and the team collectively are going to get out of it very soon.
Okay. So, FanDuel, if your team is in a funk, why don't you try playing fantasy baseball on FanDuel? All right, you don't have to worry about your terrible team slumping, because you can pick from any player in the league. A day like today on Wednesday, now there is an early game today, so you can play the full slate, or you can play just the 14 games that are at night. That's the main contest, but you can play 50-50s, you can play tournaments, you can play with your buddies, you can do whatever you want on FanDuel.com, and contests start at just $1. We have a great new offer for new users. You sign up today and enter your first league and use our promo code HOMERUN. Either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel is going to automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, sign up with our promo code. It's HOMERUN! That's HOMERUN, no spaces, on FanDuel.com. And I love FanDuel. I think Ian Desmond should be in your FanDuel lineup today. There are some interesting pitchers. Is Arrieta pitching today? I believe Arrieta is pitching today, and he's the most expensive pitcher. But Gio Gonzalez facing the Phillies makes a lot of sense. And Matt Moore against the Orioles is kind of interesting. But you get to make these choices, these difficult decisions, these very fun decisions on FanDuel every day. And that's why I love it so much. It's just a new way, a new type of fantasy. And more fantasy baseball is always a good thing. All right, fellas. Are you interested in adding any of these players who are owned in less than 20% of leagues? Adam Duvall, Deonor Navarro, AJ Griffin, or Ricky Nolasco? I'll, in case people don't know, Cincinnati outfielder Adam Duvall, White Sox catcher Deonor Navarro, A's pitcher AJ Griffin, Twins pitcher Ricky Nolasco.
I have added Duvall to a couple leagues, and including our podcast For the People League.
16 team.
So, yes. What worth pointing out, only three outfielders, but yeah, 16 teams and categories. And I've added Griffin in deep mixed roto league. So yeah, Duvall's got a lot of power. And probably not a whole lot of batting average.
Okay.
Yeah. And Navarro's filling in for Alex Avila, so he's going to play a lot in the upcoming weeks. I'm a little more intrigued by the pitchers. I'm not adding them in a mixed league scenario yet. Nolasco keeps getting strikeouts, which is interesting because he hasn't done that, you know, in 5 years. And I said earlier, I'm still not buying into it, and I'm not. There's not a good enough underlying change for me to think he's different. But at the same time, because he has that old track record where he was this perennial fantasy sleeper, because of the strikeout to walk ratio, I don't know. I can't just ignore it.
Okay,
Griffin. Griffin's a strange case too, because he hasn't pitched since 2013, and when he did pitch in 2013 for the Athletics, he was a reliable mixed league option, but he was a reliable mixed league option in a different pitcher landscape where giving up 1.6 home runs per 9 innings wasn't necessarily a deal breaker. I think it is now, but he's only given up 2 home runs in 4 starts. I don't know. They're both very interesting. I'm not reacting to either yet.
Yeah, no, Griffin. I think Griffin is really interesting. And like I said, deep leagues, no problem there. I think in something closer to a standard type league, he's going to be. I'm going to use him the way that I would use Chris Young, which is 2 start weeks where he's not in a park or against a lineup that's going to hurt him with the home run. And those are going to be few and far between. But there's going to be weeks where I think Griffin's going to be a great play.
One of these days we'll talk about Logan Forsythe. Going to run out of time today. I'll try to get Forsythe on the show tomorrow. But as we look at the fringe, he's starting
himself.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring him in on Skype.
Okay.
As we look at the fringy starting pitchers, who are your three favorites from this list? Rich Hill, Jimmy Nelson, Ubaldo Jimenez, Brandon Finnegan, Nate Karns, and Matt Wisler. Hill, Nelson, Jimenez, Finnegan, Karns, Wisler. Who are your three favorites?
Hill and Finnegan are easy. And then everybody else, it's, you got to pick your spots. I started Ubaldo this week with two starts. And part of it was the matchup with the Rays. They're very aggressive, and he had them chasing. Nelson's got to be facing righties. So, gosh, I guess I'm going to pick one that I would have to live with every week. Probably be Karns just by default.
Yeah, he overtook Wisler for me yesterday. Though I still kind of like Wisler. It's bad situation there with the Braves. Jimmy Nelson, I think, is kind of smoke and mirrors. I've always liked him as a pitcher. I've always liked his skill set, but his walk rate and home run rates are both off the charts. And it's not like he's a big time strikeout pitcher. So he's kind of blowing it on all three legs of the FIP triangle so far. And that makes the ERA and WHIP hard to believe.
Would you drop Jimmy Nelson? You wouldn't drop him for like a Ricky Nolasco. That'd be crazy, right?
No, not crazy. Cause I think there may be something there, not at a high level for Nolasco, but at a usable level.
Mm-hmm. I want to do it, but yeah, it's not crazy.
And actually, I probably wouldn't either get, just because if I have Nelson, I'm saving up for those weeks where he's facing, the Pirates or, some team with a lot of righties.
Would you drop Jimmy Nelson for, king of the quality start, Phil Hughes?
I'd think about it. Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah.
Okay. And last thing before we grade some trades, any concerns at all about Carlos Martinez with 20 strikeouts and 28 innings? I mean, it's hard to be concerned about a guy who's got a 1.93 ERA, but 8 walks, 20 strikeouts, and 28 innings. Does that jump out at you? Is that a red flag in any sense?
I mean, it's odd, but no, it doesn't concern me this early on.
Okay. He's going pretty deep into games, Martinez. I'm trying to look up his ground ball tendencies.
I think they're pretty strong.
I just want to know if they were up, because he's going deep into games without the strikeouts, and no, they're not. Basically the same. Although, I don't think Baseball Reference is updated with yesterday's results.
They are actually down.
They're down.
By a pretty big margin.
They're down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
Yeah. Allowing 13% more fly balls than last year. I don't know what that means. It's so early.
whatever.
But just to answer your question, they are down.
Some notes here. Cespedes should return to the lineup today. He had a pinch hit 3-run homer yesterday. Colton Wong, as mentioned, was out with the flu. Miguel Montero, day-to-day with back stiffness. Gregory Polanco again stayed in the lineup against a lefty at Colorado. Did bat 8th, though. Michael Brantley started in left field. Marlon Byrd sat. Scooter Jeanette had oblique tightness. He was scratched. And Matt Holliday remained out of the lineup after leaving Monday's game with a leg cramp. So here we go with Grade the Trade to end today's show. Let's start with Jeremy Davis. Give up Gregory Polanco and Freddie Freeman. Give up Polanco and Freeman for Mazzara and Sano. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
I say no. C-. I know. I've had so many of those lame puns today. C-.
C- for me, too.
I didn't even get it. Now I get it.
That's how lame it is.
Yeah, that's never a good thing. From Kyle, yeah. Grade the Trade. He says, hey, Bart, Brett, and Aaron. I know them. Oh, wait, Bart. I don't know Bart. Is that their father?
I was going to say, no, their father was Ray.
Bart Boone. Oh, these are Packers quarterbacks.
Oh.
There we go. Switched up the sport on us. All right. 10-team mixed 5x5 OBP instead of average. Give up Nolan Arenado and Houston Street. Get Carlos Gonzalez, Jose Abreu, and Garrett Cole.
Intriguing.
Well, you are giving up the best player in the deal in Arenado, which I usually don't like. Oh, sorry, bumped the mic with a ping pong paddle that I've been swinging around all show.
Weird.
I think it's a big enough return, though, that I'll give it a B.
I'm going C+.
Okay.
It's a win, but I just worry about the injury risk with Cargo. By the way, I think I got my Boone generations all mixed up, because I think Brett and Aaron are Bob Boone's kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ray was Bob's dad.
Or maybe they're Bart Boone's kids.
Too many Boones. In any case, Brett Boone has one T, not two.
Oh.
Like the emailer used. Not dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway. All right, from Jason. He says, "Dear Jack, Jim, and Jose," and we'll find out what those are when we read the email. "I found myself on Saturday night at home, maybe enjoying too many adult beverages, scouring the waiver wire and possible fantasy trades. I decided to offer up my Greinke and Eichhoff for David Price. Where do I stand on this trade? It's a 12-team keeper league. It's head-to-head category. So he gave up Greinke and Eichhoff for David Price. This trade allows me to pick up Minaya or play the waiver wire. Regardless, the phone will be locked in a safe next time the beverages are poured."
No, no. Drink more, because I like it. I like it. I think the trade itself, what's your expression, Scott? Extra or contextual extra credit. That's
okay.
All
right.
I'd say it's C+ without that, but then, you know, the extra roster spot getting you Minaya. If I add that in, I'll go B-.
I think it's dead even. C. I could see myself being on either side of that deal. Greinke's close enough to Price that it's nice to get the extra arm.
Scott, how about I give you Jared Eichhoff and Ryan Madsen, and you give me something valuable? You give me Jason Kipnis.
Eichhoff and Madsen for Kipnis.
Yeah, in the podcast league. I know you need Madsen. I know we've been trying to make this trade happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Kipnis is more valuable than that. I don't know.
Give me a low-end pitcher or something.
I'll look at it.
You've moved on from Jose Abreu, huh?
And nobody wants to give me Jose Abreu. It's hard to trade in deep leagues, Al. I made a trade offer to Al yesterday, Freddie Freeman and Jose Quintana for Jose Abreu, and I find it hard to trade in deep leagues because you don't really have like a position of strength where you can easily just make a trade and use your bench to make up for it or use the waiver wire to make up for it. So I wasn't trying to give you a bad trade offer. I didn't think it was that bad either.
Well, yeah, and I put it to Twitter because I turned it down and wanted to see what Twitter thought. And they're kind of all over the map. I'd say the consensus is about a C- D+.
Okay. This is David in New York City. He says, "Dear Hannah, Jessa, Marnie, and Shoshana." I know it.
That's tell us.
Girls. Show girls.
Yeah, never would have guessed it.
Well, they all are girls. You probably should have gotten it. Grade the trade, 5x5, 12-team roto league. Give Vince Velasquez, get Justin Upton. So he gives Vince Velasquez, who has not had a bad start all season.
There you go. For Justin Upton, who has not had a good game all season.
Yeah.
He leads
one.
The majors in strikeouts, I'm pretty sure, on pace for like 273 is what he's on pace for.
Wow.
Which obviously isn't going to happen, and he's kept better times.
I'll still give
it
a B.
Yeah, I'll give it B sounds good.
Yeah, it's a good deal. This is from Mike. He says, "Hey, Bernie, Donald, and Hillary. I know them. I want your thoughts on a trade I just made because I have little faith in King Felix's peripherals. I just sent him away for Michael Wacha and Michael Conforto. So he gave up Felix for Wacha and Conforto, 12-team points league.
Man, I don't like it. It's not terrible, but
D+.
Four starts, or is it five? However many, it's not. I don't worry about a pitcher with that track record's peripherals too much, especially when he's still getting results. What did you give it?
D+.
I'll say C-.
Here's one from Jesse. NL only, 5x5 roto. Give up Marte, Myers, and Cashner. Get Rizzo, Markakis, and Liriano. So give up Starling Marte, Will Myers, and Andrew Cashner. Get Rizzo, Markakis, and Liriano. He needs pitching.
That's a B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Nice work.
Good trade.
Yeah, very good trade.
This is from Alex in Atlanta. Dear Greg, John, and Tom.
Braves.
Yep.
Pitchers.
10-team points leagues, league, just one. Give Keuchel and Chris Bryant. Give Keuchel and Chris Bryant. Get Sonny Gray, Yasiel Puig, and Nelson Cruz.
Not a low-end player in the bunch.
I've seen pretty much no downside to this. I'll go B+.
You see no downside to it.
I mean, I know Bryant could.
He's giving up the two best players. They're all good, but he's giving up the two best. Bryant and Keuchel.
I disagree. I mean, I think Cruz could be the best player in this trade. And Sonny Gray is not that different from Keuchel in a points league.
I don't know. It's a C for me. I could see being on either side again.
Fellas, we're done, but I do want to read this one last one here. Just give me a name. Tim wants to know if he should pick up Gausman, Eichhoff, or Conley.
I would go Conley. Those are... Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, Eichhoff.
Bad.
I get that pun. Very good.
Thank you.
All right, fellas. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's Al Melchior and Scott White. I'm Adam Azer. We're back tomorrow on Fantasy Baseball Today.